You have a Bible, I want you to open up to Luke chapter 2 tonight. Now they say every day ought to be Thanksgiving for you if you're a Christian. Amen. Is that right? Every day. And there's nothing like the Thanksgiving holiday. And I think we overblow some holidays and don't give enough credit to others. Do not let this holiday come and just get sidetracked with just what you get and the turkey and the dressing and all the festivities and the And your family, that's so wonderful. Get a day off or two maybe. And then a bowl game or a ball game or, you know, setting up for the big one. Hey, listen, and I know there's nothing wrong. Hey, but, and then Black Friday coming up. And do not forget to thank the Lord this week. Cause you wouldn't have got off work if it wasn't for Jesus. Amen. And so Thanksgiving, every day ought to be Thanksgiving if you're a Christian. But I want to tonight to just give you a Bible verse and just jump in a message just so you can get things lined out. Because if you're not careful, you're not going to be ready for what's coming right behind it. Look in Luke chapter 2 and notice this scripture. I could get the young people to come back up and do it. You think I ought to make y'all do it? They're going, no, Dad, no, Dad. If they've done this, hey, listen, Luke chapter 2 and the Christmas story. And I want to just look at this, if you would, with me tonight. Just take a thought or two here. And look at Luke chapter 2. And look at verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe. Notice the term there, the babe. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Pick up verse 7 and notice this. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to preach a message to you. Just kind of jumping ahead and just kind of getting you set and ready. Because you know you're already thinking about it. And you got to get your ducks in a row. I'm going to preach on this subject tonight. On what it takes to have a good Christmas. What's it going to take for you to have a good Christmas? I want you to think ahead just a little bit. And I don't know about you, but I have my two favorite holidays in the year. And a lot of people, I get bitter because a lot of people don't agree with me on this, but I'm just going to be dogmatic about it. It's the two best of all. One of them is my birthday. Amen. And the other one is Christmas. And I know it's coming in on Thanksgiving, but you don't want to miss what's coming. I like this time of year, and you know, you can use it, people to say whatever they'll say, but you can use this as a great witnessing tool to reach people like, just like you did on Friend Day. You can use this to reach people that will never get reached in the month of, in November, in the month of December. And to me, it's the great, it's right up there at the top. I like Easter. I like, hey, listen. But there's something about Christmas that I've always liked for some reason. I don't know how to explain it. But since I was a little knee-high to a grasshopper, I've always liked this holiday. And I like everything about it. I like Christmas songs. I kind of feel sorry for them. You song leaders, y'all need to get with the program and sing them not just in the month of December. I feel so, they're almost like the third verse of the average song in our hymn book. They never get sung. Sometimes they do, but once a year you sing and they're great songs. They're loaded with doctrine and scripture and all that. But man, once you hit Christmas, you got about 3 weeks there to get them in. And then you never hear from them all the rest of the year. I feel sorry for them. I like Christmas songs. I like the Christmas holidays. Don't you like getting off work? Hey, how many of y'all young people like getting out of school? Hey, amen. They time that, and man, there ain't nothing like it. How many of y'all parents, how many of you teachers like getting out of school? You're the one that really ought to get the break to have to put up with those kids. I don't know if the parents like you getting out of school, but hey, you like that. Everything about Christmas is awesome. I heard about these two little boys that rode the bus to church, and they went to junior church, and they have it down there on their level. And bottom line, they heard announcement that tonight they're going to have at the big church, they're going to have a Christmas pageant. And they're going to have, you know, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. Those little boys' eyes got big. And they're going to have the shepherds and the three wise guys. And they're going to have, you know, and they're going to have the camels and donkeys and this and this and this. And they're like, what? And they're going to have it. And absolutely, they were like, I want to come. Why don't they have that in junior church? So you know what they did? Instead of riding the bus, they just walked to church. And they just took off a walking, and they got there. And when they got there, they got there right on time. And sure enough, in big church, they saw it. And it had this big old barn up front, you know, in the manger. And they had all the different kids acting from the church, from a Sunday school, whatever, were acting out the parts. And some of them were little sheep. And they were saying, man, I wish I could make that noise. And so they did, you know. And then they had all the different Christmas story, and they just loved it. And their jaw dropped about 3 feet when they saw the whole thing acted out. And then on the way home, they was talking. And as walking home, they said, man, they've been lying to us, telling us that we got the best church in junior church. We didn't want to go to big church. Well, I went tonight, and we don't have nothing like this in junior church. And I know. And the songs we sing are boring. And they get to sing, man, I like that song they sing called Hark the Hairy Angels Sing. And that was, yeah, I like that one. That was a good one. We never get to sing about that. And the other boy said, I like that song called While Shepherds Wash Their Socks by Night. That was good. Hey, listen, I like Christmas songs. I like everything about Christmas. And I think some of you in here, I'm almost kind of guessing, some of you, for some reason, you like it too. Don't try to lie to me and act all spiritual. Hey, listen to me. But if you're not careful and you don't look out ahead, And be a little bit more far-sighted than some of you are, this thing's going to sneak up on you, and you're not going to be ready for a big day that could go in your favor. Are you listening to me? And so I want to give you tonight, what's it going to take for you to have a good Christmas? You say, Brother Reed, why are you preaching on this? What's this got to do with the prices of bananas in Cuba? I think it has to do with everything. I think it has a lot to do with what we're going through right now, and just some practical things. And I don't know that this will be very spiritual, but Brother Eric knew that when he got me to come here. It probably won't be real spiritual, but it will be practical. It will make some sense in that level. So you'll have to get another guy to get on the spiritual side. But I want to say this. I'm going to get with it. Point number one, if you're going to have a good Christmas, number one, you got to have a tree. You got to have a tree. Now, don't sit there and look at me like, oh, I can do without one. No. You got to have you a tree. If you're going to have a good Christmas, it starts with the tree. Listen closely. What kind of sorry Christmas would it be if you got, you know, December 1st, December 4th, December 9th in your house, and your parents ain't got with the program, and there's no tree in the house. There's no tree in that living room. You're thinking, what in the world? Don't you understand how big this holiday is to me? You got to have a tree. It starts with the tree. And you don't just want to get any old tree. If you want to just drag something in, you know, like deader than last year's bird's nest or something. No. You want to get a good, sharp tree. And it's got to be the right one. Say amen. Remember what I learned this morning? I said, if you don't amen me, I preach longer. Amen. So let's get with it and get this crowd participation here. And listen to me, classroom. And you got to have you a tree. I don't know where it says anything in the Bible about it, but it's spiritual. But if you're going to have a good Christmas, I'll be honest, you got to have one. And the question is, which one? How are you going to get it? When are you going to get it? Do you have one? You say, Brother Reed, the Bible doesn't really say anything about a tree. What's this got to do with Christmas and having a good Christmas? Well, come on, man. It does say some things about a tree. As a matter of fact, you just open that book up and it starts, you don't even get going. And all of a sudden you're reading about these different trees you can choose from. You can pick any one you want, but you want to get the right one. Listen to me now. There is one tree you do not want to get anywhere around in November or certainly in the month of December. Stay away from it. The Bible talks about the tree of death. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the sin tree. And everybody wants to get around that tree, and they're not picking the right one when they do. This is the one that'll take you down. This is the one that'll take you to hell. This is the tree everybody likes to hang with, but it's not going to be a good Christmas tree. You want to stay totally away from it and run the other way. God said you can eat any tree in the garden except that tree. Don't you get around that one. In the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. Hey, listen to me. Man got in trouble when he got around a certain tree. So you know what the Lord did? He fixed it up where if you're going to get out of trouble, you got to come around the right tree. Oh, did this Bible say anything about a certain tree? Hey, listen, you don't want to just get a tree. You want to get the right tree. You want to get the tree. If you have a Bible, look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Can one of you boys up front help me with this? I need help. I know you're sitting there going, amen, Brother Reed. Don't say amen in the wrong place. I need help. That's why God gave me my wife. I need help. That's why he gave me four kids. Hey, listen to me. And you say, Brother Reed, you do. Them eyebrows of yours don't even match. I know it. I need help. Don't say amen on that. Hey, listen to me. With somebody, I'm trying to give you time, these boys on the front, to find 1 Peter. Here's how you get it. Hey, listen, some of you guys are still looking. And just look, open it up and look intelligently down somewhere. Nobody will know you're slow. Hey, if I look, the first book in the Bible is the book of Index. Amen. Look there. It's before the book of Genesis. You got to go back. It's the oldest trick in the book. And find the book and get a page number and get over there. 1 Peter 2:24. Can one of you boys read it for me? Raise your hand and say, I got it. I got it. I'll get it, Brother Reed. What is it? Go ahead. Do it. Hey, are you listening to me? He didn't say he died on a tree. He didn't say he bore our sins in his own body on just any old tree. No, it's the tree. Hey, you don't just need a tree. You got to have the right tree. You need the right one. Are you listening to me? If you're going to have a good Christmas, I'm trying to go, maybe dropping the plow a little bit and getting a little deeper, drilling down a little deeper right now. Listen, don't miss this. You got to have a tree, but it don't just need to be any old tree. Hey, a lot of people in the tree business, and a lot of people are pointing you towards the wrong tree. A lot of people use Christmas as an excuse to get drunk. A lot of people use this Christmas as a great excuse to get party and everything. Hey, listen to me. No, that's not the right one. You need to get the tree. You need to get to the tree. And it's the right tree, and it's called the one that Jesus died on. I'm telling you, if you want to have a good Christmas, your Christmas will never be, it'll flip you. It'll change you. It'll be, if you could just get to the tree, say amen right there. That's good preaching, Brother Freddie, even if I am doing it. If you don't amen me, we'll preach longer. And if you don't amen me, I'll just amen myself. Keep preaching. All right, number one, I think it's case closed. That one's a definite. You got to have a tree. Number two, it's got to be hung right. If you're going to have you a good Christmas, I finally got a couple of y'all in the Christmas spirit in here. Y'all are looking at me like Scrooges. Some of y'all are like, I dare you to bless me. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to work on y'all, some of you, and have to go a little longer. I may have to come back to your row. I've done it before. Trust me. Ask my family. Ask some people that I'll go right back where you're at. If you just keep that up, I'll come right back at you. Listen to me. It's got to be hung right. You don't want to just have a tree. What kind of sorry Christmas would it be if you got to December the 5th and December the 10th and December the 14th? And time keeps clicking back. Hey, ladies, listen to me. You ought to like this message. You ought to like it. You've only got, and I'm trying to help you and get your husbands and elbow them right now and say, yeah, he's telling the truth. Hey, listen, so they got sore ribs. And you've only got like 37 good shopping days left. So you don't want this thing to sneak up on you. Listen, listen to me. It's got to be hung right. You can't just bring a tree in there and just leave it. You got to move on, get with the program. It's got to be hung right. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm, surely y'all looking at me slow. All right, listen to me now. It's got, do I have to explain? Do I got to take a poll here and ask what do you hang on a tree? Some of y'all are like, you're just not getting, slow freight coming this way right here. All right? These kids are in here. I'm preaching this message because I like you. I saw y'all out there today sliding all over that thing, and the rain didn't stop them. Amen? I mean, buddy, they were out there playing. They're splashing each other. They're jumping up and down. They're getting in the mud a little bit. That's a good church kid. That's a good kid. That's the way we need them to be. Hey, it's the way it used to be. Hey, listen to me. Can you tell me what you got to hang on a tree? And anybody in here, I'm trying to get some edumacation here on this row right here. Tell me, what is it that you got to hang on a tree? Can anybody help me? All right, go ahead. Ornaments, absolutely. Man, these kids are smart. Man, I can't even spell that much, know what it means. Ornaments, that's good. Perfect answer. Somebody else, what is it you hang on a tree? All right, right there. Popcorn. This guy wants food on his tree. Amen. It's very obvious. Amen. Hey, when you go by, grab a little popcorn and eat it. Nobody ain't looking. You shouldn't do that. Don't you do that, boys. Hey, listen to me. Popcorn. That is not usually the first answer you get, but it is a good answer. All right. Great, great, great. Somebody else say, tell me what you put on a tree. Anybody want to help? The kid level down here. Y'all are smart. All right, right there, son. A star. Needs to go say amen right there. That's good answers. These are good old USA, good old American kids. Got to have a star on your tree. Listen to me now. Hey, don't put me on you if you're like a Jehovah's Witness and you don't like Christmas and you won't pledge to a flag. We like Christmas around our place. Amen. It's a good thing to use for Jesus. Hey, tell me what, you got to have a star. What else? Somebody else tell me something else to put on the tree. Put on your tree. Go ahead. Lights. Incredible. Anything else? Great answer. Somebody said, give. Okay, what is it? What? What'd you say?
The moon.
The moon. Jesus hung the moon so you could hang it on the tree. It's good stuff. That'll preach that say it ain't wrong. And we can put whatever we want to. That's a good one. Amen. I like this. Hey, this thing is out of control. Hey, listen to me. Does the Bible say anything about hanging something on a tree? Now be careful about your answers because you know, I don't know. You know, it's like that lady, that 95-year-old lady that had those two teeth, amen? That's a good story, though. I like that story. Hey, be careful about, does the Bible say, no, it says nothing about a tree, and it says nothing about something being hung on a tree, and it has nothing to do with what these kids are saying. It might not, but it might. Listen to me. It does talk about a light being hung on a tree. The one I was talking about a while ago. I'm not talking about a light. I'm talking about the light. Got hung on a tree. You're stretching it, Brother Frank. Maybe I am. But I'm up here preaching. And when you preach, you can preach whatever you want to. This is my turn. So scoot over. I'm swinging my elbows a little bit. It does say something. If you read it right, you just got to learn to read it like I do. Hey, listen to me. Jesus is called the light of the world. In John chapter 8, are you listening to me? He's not a light. He's just not one of the lights. Hey, we got a light and we're going to let it shine, shine, shine. Listen to me. He's the light. You only need one if you can get Jesus where he belongs. He'll make everybody around will know it. If you get Jesus right where he's supposed to be. It does say something about the light being hung on the tree. It does. It sure does. And it also talks about a star being hung on a tree. It does. He's called the angel of the Lord. I've heard you put an angel on top of your tree. Or you put a star on top of your tree. It's like a traditions we have in America, you know, whatever. But he's called the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Jesus was around before he was born. Now, did you hear what I just said? He's the only person on God's green earth that's older than his mother and as old as his daddy. Ain't nobody like him. You better listen to him. Yeah, I'm not going to say it again. You got to get it the first time. I'll just say it again because you're not going to get it. He's older than his mother, Jesus, and he's as old as his daddy. There's nobody like him. You ain't going to find nobody. Scoot over Buddha. Scoot over Muhammad. You can't get though. Claim that. Hey, listen to me. But he was around. He's called the angel of the Lord. So you put up an angel and hang up there. That's a picture. Hey, listen to me. But what about a star? Now, if you got a new version, a new perversion, they say in Isaiah 14 that Lucifer is the morning star. You got the wrong version. If you got the King James, he's called the Son of the Morning. And it tells you he's trying to steal Jesus' glory. And in Revelation chapter 22 on the last page in the Bible, he says, you could put a star on your tree. You kind of need to. Not just a star, but the star. And it says there, and he said, Jesus said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Those new versions are on the wrong side of the issue. They're giving somebody else credit to only what Jesus should have. He's called the star. It's him. Hey, listen to me. And you know what? He got hung on a tree. Take your Bible and look in Galatians 3:13. It's right here, guys. It's right under your nose. Sometimes it's hidden in plain view. Notice what it says in Galatians 3:13. One of you boys, I'm trying to get the book of Index and work in. How many times I've got to tell y'all? Galatians chapter 3. They're not going to be able to find it. They're still looking. He's in the book of Index right now. Hey, listen, Debbie. It says Galatians 3:13. Somebody got it? Want to read it? Go ahead and try it. Go ahead. Thank you, son. Hey, he got hung on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Are you listening? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Did you know in the Old Testament there was one death you did not want to die? Because it was called the cursed death when you read the law. And if you died by getting hung, that's a bad way to die. Now in America, we used to have more sense. And when somebody messed with a kid or did certain things that nowadays we think are very normal and everything right is abnormal, you know what they used to do? If somebody messed with a little kid or something, a pervert, you know what they do? They give them a fair trial. But they wouldn't wait and stick them in an air-conditioned prison cell for the next 75 years. They wouldn't give them a little slap on the hand and send them back in society. No, they wouldn't. You know what they do? They get together, and once they were found guilty of certain things, they'd take them and hang them on the courthouse lawn from their neck. And it's called a deterrent to crime. And we've lost that long ago. And America's not great like it used to be. Hey, listen to me. You don't want to die like that. You don't want to die hanging on a tree and by your neck. But Jesus didn't die hanging from his neck. He died hanging from his hands and feet. There's a song we sing. It's a great song. I love the song. And it goes, I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away. But then a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go and take me instead. A crown of thorns and a spear deep in his side. Yet that pain, it should have been mine. Those rusty nails, they were meant for me. And yet Christ took them and let me go free. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung. There's that word. It's a Bible word. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. That's just a little song, but that's lined up with Scripture. That's just exactly the way it says in Scripture. Hey, you don't want to just get a tree. You want to get the right one. You want to get the tree. And when you get that tree, it's got to be hung right. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Are you getting what I'm saying? Hey, this will flip. This will change your Christmas, man. This will change your life. Like Ben Franklin said, a clear conscience is a continual Christmas. You can have Christmas every day. You can have Thanksgiving every day if you get a hold of this. That's one. Number two, you got to have a tree. It's got to be hung right. Number three, you got to have a gift. What do you mean, Brother Freddie? Well, of course. You know I was going to have to put that one in there. Say amen, boys. Y'all say amen. You got, how many of y'all kids want to have a gift? It'd be one thing. What kind of sorry Christmas would it be if it's December the 6th and you're looking under the tree and it's hung good and you don't have nothing under it? And it's December the 12th and you're sitting under there and you're going, where's my gift? You're looking under there. If it's December 17th, clock's ticking down. Are you listening to me? And you don't have the gift. You don't have a gift with your name on it. I'll be honest. I never cared a bit. There's seven of us kids in our family. And I was like number six out of seven. And I didn't give a rip what my sister had as a present. And I sure didn't care about my brothers. But buddy, there was one thing I was looking for the whole month. I started looking back in. Sometimes they got an earlier start. I was looking back in late November for it. And I didn't really care how the Christmas tree looked a bit. I never spent 5 minutes. Let my sisters worry about that. I was looking underneath that thing. You know what I was looking for? I wanted me a gift. You say, Brother Reed, this is totally not spiritual at all. I know, I already told you that. But it is practical, and it's what you're going to have to do if you're going to have a good Christmas. Are you listening? But you got to have a gift. You got to. Does the Bible say anything about a gift? They don't talk about that kind of stuff. Yeah, it does. It says a lot about gifts. It really does. If you read that thing, Old Testament and New, it's loaded. Here's a good one. I'm not just talking about a gift. You don't want just a gift. You want to get the gift. Everybody's got a list, and then they got the top of the list. And they've already, hey, kids, get what you work. Learn to work your parents. And, I mean, start right now, this week. I mean, get run. You need a little runway after the bad year you've had, and you want to get something good and start working them over. You got a lot of power you can use. I learned when I was young to work that thing. Hey, listen to me. You say you're wicked, Brother Freddie. I didn't say I wasn't. I didn't say I was spiritual. So you can figure with the other side. Hey, listen to me. I'm just telling you the reality. You got to have a gift. Isaiah 9:6, they call it a Christmas verse. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is what? Given. There's your gift. And his name, this gift, it's interesting. He's got a name. The gift has a name. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. You could say it with me. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What an amazing verse. Hey, this gift, if you look at it, is not your normal gift. Not at all. It's not normal. The gift is a person. People, they need more than a thing. They need a person. You say, how do you know it's a person? Well, that's in the Old Testament, Brother Freddie. Well, how about John 3:16? Anybody know that one? You don't even have to turn there. Help me quote it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that something? It says it in the Old Testament, but there's no contradiction in the Bible. Not if you've got a King James. Hey, it says it in the New Testament. And it says the gift is a person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How many of y'all believe the gift is Jesus? The gift is a person. Would you say that? But hold the phone, Joan. What about Romans 6:23? You know Romans 6:23. You may want to try to look at index and then get to Romans. All right? Romans 6:23. See if you can help me quote it. Once we start it, you may already know this one. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the tree that you want to stay away from. That's the tree. It's the wrong one. The wages of sin is death. But here's the gift. The gift of God, here's the gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You told me, I heard you say it. We were in almost complete agreement. You told me the gift was a person. The Bible doesn't contradict, does it? It does not. Listen to me. You just gave me and helped me quote, finish a verse that says the gift is a thing. This is where all the confusion comes up between all the religions. And buddy, they confuse you. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. You got to believe what the book says. Listen close. The gift is a person. It's somebody's son. He wants to give you his son. And the gift, they say, person, place, or thing. Y'all remember that? A noun is what? A person, place, or a thing. Now that's what they used to say back when I was growing up. Now they say a person, place, a thing, or an idea. That's what they ask you. Your new math or your new stuff. Hey, listen, English. Hey, listen to me. A person, place, thing. We were never allowed to have any ideas. I'm sorry. But it's a person, place, thing, or idea. Is this a person? Is the gift a person, a place, or a thing? It's a person. And it's a thing. And it'll take you to the right place. The thing is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. There's no contradiction. We just got to believe it. You say, I don't believe that. It's impossible. Well, did you know Jesus Christ is eternal life? He said so. He said himself. He didn't lie. He says, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say he was a life. He said he was the life. In John 11, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said that. Paul said in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. And over in 1 John, it settles it and just absolutely gives it to you. It's straight, the skinny on it. And it says, this is the record. 1 John 5:11, that God hath given to us eternal life. You got to know this. You need to know this. This is 101 doctrine stuff. You need this. People don't get it. They'll be confused the rest of their life. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. One syllable words. Is it hard to get saved? No. One guy in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, got saved by praying three words. Lord, save me. Just read the story. It ain't hard. Be awful to die and go to hell, and all you had to do is pray three words. That'd be very awful. You don't want to do that. Bad move. Three words will get you saved. Is it hard? No. A first grader gets it. Kids understand salvation better than adults. Adults get confused. And it said, in one syllable words, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not. I'm not getting my fingers right. It's like 18, 19 words in there somewhere. But every one of them are one syllable. Isn't that cool? One syllable words. You got Jesus, you got eternal life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And to clear it later in the chapter, in 1 John 5:20, said this, talking about Jesus, said this is the true God and eternal life. He is eternal life. A person, he doesn't just give you eternal life. He is, the gift is eternal life, and the gift is Jesus. Isn't that something? The Lord's given it to us simple. Right down there where we can get it. Gotta have a tree. Gotta be hung right. You gotta have a gift. We just told you what it was. But listen, it's gotta be wrapped right. What kind of sorry Christmas would it be if you got this awesome gift, or you thought it might be, and your mom left it in a Walmart sack, stuck it under the tree? Or worse than that, how about Dollar Tree? That's where we shop. Amen. We go to restaurants where they look up at the menu, not down. That's where we go. How many of y'all understand that? You'll get that in a little bit. Take some of you a while. Hey, listen to me. But you got to get through Christmas successfully if you're a parent. Are you listening? Hey, you got to take time and wrap it. And does the Bible say anything about somebody wrapping a gift at Christmas time? It say anything? It does not. Hold it. Just hold it. Calm down. How about Luke 2:7, our text? It says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It does say about somebody being a person being gift wrapped. He's the gift. He got gift wrapped. And listen, you do not want daddy wrapping anything. Say amen right there. I'm getting the ladies. Hey, ladies, Shout is not just a laundry detergent word. Shout is a Bible word. You can say amen too. If your husband don't, just go ahead and pipe it up. Hey, listen to me. Hey, you do not want a, you don't want a guy wrapping a gift. Man, you missed. It's in the Bible. You should not let a guy wrap a gift. It said she brought forth her first and wrapped him in swaddling. You're going to get the right gift. Get the right person wrapping it. A redneck can fix anything with duct tape and drywall screws. Amen. Say amen. That's right. Yes, good preaching, Brother Freddie. Hey, listen to me. You don't want a guy wrapping no gift. The mama wraps the gift. Got to be wrapped right. It's interesting that when Jesus died, I don't know if it means anything, but I've heard a lot of old preachers say it does, that when Jesus was born, he was born to die. You know he was born to die because in Acts 5, when Ananias and Sapphira, it takes ladies 3 hours longer to get to church. It's in the Bible in Acts 5. Y'all know that, right? You guys ought to use your elbow right now. Hey, listen to me. It's in the Bible. You got the Bible? Ananias drops dead for lying to the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, they're taking you and they're going to wrap you up. And they're sticking. And then Sapphira comes sashaying in 3 hours later. It takes a woman 3 hours longer to get dressed than it does a man. And she comes walking in clueless. And she starts saying, acting spiritual. And he said, the people that just buried your husband are going to wrap you up too. And she drops dead right there in church. Scary day to live. Said in the end of that chapter, no man durst wanted to join that church. Didn't want to join it. That's a church you didn't want to join. That's scary. Hey, listen to me. But you know how they say it? When the ball game's over, they say, the announcer will say, well, that about wraps it up. That means it's over. What it means? Everybody can figure it out. It's from the King James Bible. And when Jesus died, back then they wrapped them like mummies. That's just how they did it. But when he was born, this little baby, it spooked those. I bet it spooked those shepherds. You don't ever hear about them saying nothing when they got to the manger. This angel makes a pulpit out of a cloud and comes and scares them poor boys half to death. And they're on the hillside with their sheep in the middle of the night. And it's unto you is born this day, and this shall be a sign unto you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's not a babe. He's the babe. Lots of little babies. They had seen he's not just a lamb. He's the lamb. Shepherds wanted to find. They thought they'd seen a lamb, some lambs before, but they hadn't seen the lamb. He's not just a shepherd. He's the shepherd. The good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd is what Jesus called. Isn't that something? And the first people that he told them about, that told people about the angels of, was a bunch of shepherds. Isn't that something? And they go and they get there. And when they get to the manger that night, the first people to show up that night, they didn't say a word. I'm guessing why. They saw that babe wrapped in. It's called a sign. It's some very significant. Maybe no baby in history was ever dressed to kill or be killed like this little baby. This little baby looked like a little mummy with the cutest little head sticking out, grinning at him. And they're going, are you looking at what I'm looking at? Oh, but why did that mother dress that baby like that? It's like he's about to die.
Maybe because he was going to die.
This little baby was born to die. So you could get born again and live forever. Almost done. Got to have a tree. It's got to be wrapped right. You got to have gift. I mean, your tree's got to be hung right. You got to have a gift. It's got to be wrapped right. But last but not least, you got to get on your knees if you're going to get you one. And you got to get on your feet. This is where soul winning comes in. If you're going to give one away. Lots of people out there need the gift of eternal life, folks. I saw so many that came to soul winning yesterday morning in Dawson. We were jumping out of vans and before the van stopped. Thank you, Brother Ron, for driving us and helping us like we did. We had tracks and all set. And, you know, the gospel goes out. Your mouth, through your hand. And you just give it. I mean, listen to me. John and Romans, invitation on the back of that. All those. How many did y'all give out, Brother Eric? I mean, well over 1,000, many thousand. On the back of those Friend Day flyers were gospel presentations. You may not realize that he got you passing out tracts, and you may not even know you did. Isn't that good? All the gospel, the word of God's going out. We only got a little while left. The clock is ticking down. There's only so many days. It said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. And if we're going to give one away, we better get with it. We better get on this ball and soul winning. Now's the time to get it in gear, slap it in gear and get into overdrive. But if you're going to get you a gift, you got to get on your knees to get it. When I was growing up, it's funny, in the month of December, it got really interesting in our family. There's 7 kids and a bunch of kids. And my parents learned very quickly something. I never asked them about it, but we figured they had a little conference behind the scenes and figured out how to beat us kids at our own game. If you don't have a plan for them, they'll have one for you. And there was something funny. They never left the house at the same time anywhere in the month of December. There was a reason. Because us kids were little mischievous little turkeys, whatever you want to call us, little crumb crunchers were back then. Hey, listen, and we were, man, if they ever left both at the same time, we were under the tree. I already knew where my presents were. I knew what I wanted, and I pretty much kind of guessed what they were. My sisters, older sisters and brothers were wicked. I was a very spiritual kid. But they taught me some bad ways. Do not try this. Don't you do it. But when one time mom and dad left, I remember one time, they both were gone at the same time. And all of a sudden they just took over and said, let's go, living room. And we went in there and they started taking crazy chances. They grabbed presents that had their name on it and they started holding them up to the light. I said, what are you doing? Come on, kid. Are you slow? Man, it gets dumber every kid down. And what don't you know? And they were looking and they could actually read what was, you could see through the paper. Y'all should never do this. And then I had sisters that were great at wrapping gifts and unwrapping them too. They begin to take these things apart. I tried it and I ripped the hole. I got in trouble for it. But they would say, they'd open that thing and then look at it and stand there with the gift. And my little brother had to be the guy at the back door that was a setup. What do you call him? In crime, y'all criminals. Lookout guy. He was a lookout guy. But I was in the big room. And I was learning stuff, wicked stuff. And basically, they were unwrapping it, bragging about what they got several days before Christmas hit. That's wrong. But it was fun. And I tried to get my, don't you ever do this. Stuff you learn at church is the worst stuff. Parents will never leave anywhere in December now. I just ruined your Christmas, didn't I? Hey, listen to me. Basically, I wanted to know what was inside of it. And when Christmas morning hit, we just had a tradition. I don't know if it's right, but one year we had the oldest to the youngest. And the oldest got to open their gift first. It always mattered who gets the first, gets to open it first. And then yet the next year, it was youngest to the oldest. I was hoping that was you because I was number 2 from the last. Okay. And it was horrible for my dad. My dad, he worked 3 jobs before they ever called it bivocational pastoring. He started churches all over Texas. And the only day off he got for the whole year was Christmas. The only day he'd ever get to sleep in. And we ruined it for him. We didn't care. We had no conscience. At 5:30 in the morning, somebody would wake everybody up. Dad, get up! Get up! It's Christmas morning! Shut up! Go back to bed. Never get up this early. Mom, get Dad up! Man, we're beating the door down. He's got that door locked, whatever, trying to keep us out. And boy, after a while, we won. Finally, we're dragging Dad. Hurry, Dad, get in here. It's Christmas morning. You know what we did. We got in there and they said, all right, oldest to youngest. And we get around it. And you know what we had to do to get our gift? You may not have done this yet. You may be missing out. There was one thing we had to do when they called our name. Okay, little Freddie, your turn. Mama would say it. I can remember like it was yesterday. You know what you had to do? You did kind of have to humble yourself. You had to get on your knees. Under a certain tree, the right tree, to get your gift. You gotta get on your knees to get it. You think I was worried about what somebody in my room was gonna think about me because I got on my knees and went up in front of people and got on my knees at that tree to get my, I wasn't worried about it a bit. I wanted my gift. Buddy, I was on my knees in a lickety split. You know why? I wanted my gift. You know where some of you are at tonight? There may be somebody in here on friend day night. And you ain't never collected your gift. And that's why you're so miserable. Hey, listen to me. I'm telling you how you can get early Christmas. You can get it tonight. You need to come to the tree, the right one. Turn from that sin tree and come to the Calvary tree and get on your knees and ask Jesus for the gift. I'll say, I just want you to. I'll just take him in your heart. He is a gift.